Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, good morning again and welcome. And as Seth mentioned, there's a bunch of stuff going on. So make sure you do check the Church Center app out or take the handout in the seat back in front of you with you before you leave so you can keep up to date with everything. I do just want to mention two things, though. As we come into Easter, Easter's obviously a huge celebration around here. And so we have a couple things that I want to draw your attention to. One is our Easter egg hunt. So if you've been around Life Change for the last several years, you know that we do a giant Easter egg hunt, like 10,000 Easter eggs, and lots of people, lots of kids, just a blast. Well, this year, we are moving it from our property, and again, we're taking it to Vibrant Life, which is a church plant that's from us that's going to be launching later this year. And if you look at it, we're going to take the plant, we're going to take the Easter egg hunt from our location, we're going to take it to their location, which is 858 Garfield Avenue on the east end of town, and we're going to just do some amazing stuff so they have awareness right off the bat, and we're showing them that they're church is there for that community for some fun family events. So again, 10,000 Easter eggs will be there. We'll have bounce houses. We'll have a slushy truck, hot dogs and chips for all sorts of stuff. But that means we need your help. And so it takes a team to do this. And so for that day, what we're going to do is we're going to send our team there, and we have a sign-up sheet in the back, right at the Connection Center. And if you want to sign up, or if you're watching online, you can just actually message us and sign up as well. But we need your contact information and your shirt size, because you will get a Vibrant Life, one-of-a-kind shirt for that day. That's the only time they're going to make this shirt, so that you're part of the cool kids if you get this one. So sign up today. You're going to sign up today, and next week is when this is available. You can still show up and serve. You just won't get a t-shirt. But if you sign up today or next week, you will get a t-shirt in that, and that's going to be amazing. And again, that will lead up to Easter services, which again will be on the 31st. So just kind of a clarification. On the 24th, we'll have all our regular services here. The Easter egg hunt's actually at 1 p.m., so you come to this service, you could probably get lunch real fast, then head to the Easter egg hunt, or you could go set up, all that kind of stuff. But and then on Easter, we're going to have four services here, 7, 8:30, 9:45, and 11. And so for you guys, this is one of our bigger services, and this will probably be one of the bigger services of that day. So if you're early risers and you're like, man, I just kind of wait around a little bit to get here, come to our 8:30 service. That'd be amazing. If you're like pushing to get here at 9:45 and you're like, I could sleep in a little bit, come to our 11 o'clock service. But we're trying to make some space during this service as well. Again, that's why we're doing four, is to create space. I told my 8:30 people to go to the 7 o'clock. They're all like, yeah, that's perfect, because we're just drinking coffee till 8:30 anyways, because that's the type of people they are. And so there will be space at 8:30 as well if you go and choose that. But again, we are excited. Amazing things happening, and we're excited for all that God's doing. But today what we're doing is we're going to conclude a series that we've been in the last several weeks, a series entitled Love Does. And so if you've been around, we are jumping in, and we're looking at the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is where we're gathering the thoughts behind this series. So we're going to jump right in again, and let's look at it, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles, go there with me. Again, if you don't have a Bible, we do challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. It's a free resource that you can put on your phone and have with you wherever you go. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Again, in this passage, and what we've doing through this series is we're looking at the love does portion. More specifically, the love does not. Right? Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love does not dishonor. And today we're going to look at love does not delight in evil. But understand this, each one of these things, what we've learned is that it takes an action, because love is an action. Love takes some intentionality. Right, love takes some doing things on purpose. Right, we're actually going to have to put some activity and some effort into love, and to do and to not do certain things. Right, and so again, love is an action. And it takes action to not delight in evil. What's crazy about this one, though, is as we jump into this, this is one of the only ones, if you look at it, where Paul gives this counterpart to the does not. Right? And if you look at him, the other ones, he's like, yeah, love does not do that, so you don't do that. Kind of what we gather from this one. But on this one, he looks and says, love does not delight in evil, but instead, it rejoices with the truth. And here's why I think he says this. I think Paul understands that what we get caught up in is where we actually go to. Really this way. What you celebrate is what you live out. What you celebrate is what gets repeated. I mean, if you think about it, what you get excited about is really what you're going to experience. Why? It's because you actually seek after it. You chase after, you search for that things. And if you're excited about something, you're going to try to find the thing that you're going to get excited about. And here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, if we celebrate evil, right, if we delight in evil, we're going to experience it. It's what we're going to experience. And it's not love. It's the opposite of love. Love does not delight in evil, but instead it rejoices in the truth. Rejoices with the truth. So this is what Paul's saying. He's saying this. He says, when you celebrate something, it's what you live out. And I want us to understand, we don't want to live out evil, right? Seems pretty simple. I think most of us, we would understand, we don't want to live out evil. So don't delight in evil. Again, a lot of this, if you look at this, we've gone through these, love does not. They almost seem like no-brainers. You're like, Paul, seriously, you're going to write on this? And then you're like, Corbin, seriously, you just made this 4 weeks of sermons? I did. Because the truth is, a lot of times, the easy things are the things that we fall into. The things that seem so simple is where we actually let our guard down, and it's what we actually get into. And if you look at it, we live in a culture that actually delights in evil, right? All around us, right? We live in a culture that delights in evil. And I think sometimes what happens is as we fall into it more than we realize. Right? I mean, just think about the way we entertain ourselves. Think about the shows we watch. Now, listen, there's some good, wholesome shows out there, but man, there is some evil as well. There are some trash shows. Literally, there's a whole segment of TV called Trash TV, right? There's trash shows out there, right? And I'm just going to be honest, like, sometimes we watch junk that's not great. I'm your pastor, and just so you know, I don't watch The Chosen on a loop all the time, right? There's some trash on TV, and sometimes I look at it and I watch it. And sometimes I entertain myself in it. And listen, that's delighting in evil. And sometimes that kind of messes up, like, how I think, how I feel. And you've probably been there before, right? Why? Because it's delighting in evil. Right? The shows we watch, they make a difference. I'm pretty sure since TV was invented, every pastor, every preacher is like, that's an easy one. I'll just preach against it, right? Because we do. Because sometimes it happens. But there's so much more. Like the things we scroll, right? Social media. Evil. There's some evil out there. The movies we watch, the sports we watch, how we watch sports. Like sometimes we get bored with sports. We're like, oh, man, I just put a $5 bet on it. What are we doing? We're opening the door for evil. I think so many times this is what we do. Right? Even the music we listen to. And we delight in evil. And again, like, just going to be honest, I'm not perfect. Like, I found myself in times where, like, man, I'm delighting in evil too much. If you know, if you've been around Life Change Church, you've heard me make references and stuff, you probably know that I don't listen to Christian music all the time either, right? I don't have just like the river playing on constant. Like there's some times I throw some country music because I want to hear my wife be a guest DJ. But I'm a product of like, my favorite music time was like the late 90s, early 2000s. Right, and so man, I love grunge, I love hard rock, I love emo, and I love some rap. And so like, so I get it, like I get it fair and square. And there's times where I'll listen to that, and I know for sometimes, man, there's times I need to check myself before I wreck myself, right? Because it changes the mentality. Sometimes it changes the mentality of what I'm thinking about. And if I'm delighting in those things, what it is, it's evil, and it's taking me to more evil. Right? I mean, emo music's emotional music. If you didn't know that, it's kind of like punk rock. Oh, get on all your feels and stuff. And listen, when I listen to too much emo music, sometimes I'm in my feels. Right? And I'm like, I feel like there's some, I'm just kind of down. Right? Sometimes when I listen to a little bit too much hard rock or a little too much rap, I'm ready to break stuff. There's another, see, There's another reference for some of you guys that maybe listen to a little too much, right? But it does. It has an effect on who we are. And when we start celebrating these things, when we start celebrating evil, whatever it is, it creeps into our life. And it truly affects us. It alters our mind. It messes with our attitude. It can do all of these things. And listen, it's not glorifying God. And there's times, honestly, I have to look. I'm like, okay, well, I need to switch it over. I just need to get some Jesus music on. Why? Because what I'm experiencing isn't love. And how I'm acting and how I'm treating others around me when I'm in the midst of that isn't love as well. Right? Because love does not delight in evil. And when we're delighting evil, what's happening is we're repeating what we're celebrating. Right? What you celebrate gets lived out. What you celebrate gets repeated. This is why Paul says this. Says love does not delight in evil. Because he knows that we're going to repeat what we're experiencing. And evil is not loving. And it doesn't benefit us or anyone around us. Right? So if we're living in evil, listen, understand, it's not healthy to our spiritual lives and it's not healthy to our relational lives as well. But the truth is, we still do it. Right? I'm admitting up here that we still do it. Sometimes we make it a way of life, but there's dangers to it. So let me just give you some dangers of evil. Listen, evil blinds our minds. Evil blinds our minds. It keeps us from knowing God and who God truly wants us to be. Right? It keeps us from experiencing who he truly is, and it causes us to miss out on what he wants from us. Right? It blinds our minds. It actually distorts the way we see things. Right? I mean, think about it. If you're watching some shows that are evil, if you're watching some TV shows, whatever, pretty soon your mindset begins to turn to what that show's mindset is. Pretty sure, if you listen to music, pretty sure your mindset goes to where that music is. It can pick anything, right? I mean, even the news, right? Sometimes the news is evil, right? How many of you ever felt terrible after you watched the news, right? Because the things that are happening are sometimes evil, and sometimes the way they report it is evil. Like, they're actually trying to get a rising out of you. And this is what happens, right? And for some of us, this is what we think the world is. Right? Why? Because it's blinding our minds. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The God of this age, right, that's a small g. How many of you know that the God of this age leads us away from things, right? There's some evil forces in work. I think sometimes people get so shocked. They're like, can you believe that that happened? Listen, yeah, I can. Because the God of this age is evil. Like, I'm not shocked at all sometimes with the things that happen. In fact, it's fine because I know that we are on the other side of heaven and we're waiting for to get to where God has sent his son to actually take us. I'm thankful that this isn't heaven right now. And sometimes I think we have to understand that, man, we live in an age where it's the God of this age is trying to blind us. And evil does that. It blinds us. It keeps us from seeing the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. And when we look to these things, delight in them, celebrate them, rejoice in them. When we look to these things, when we even look to the world and say, man, you know what? School should be better. Entertainment should be better. When we look to these things to set really our guardrails around us, what we're doing is we're setting ourselves up for failure. We're delighting evil, and we're not setting ourselves up to experience the love of Christ. Because the God of this age will blind our minds so we don't see the glory of Christ. So we don't see love. True love is Jesus. True love is the fact that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on a cross for each and every one of us, but then rose again to conquer that, to conquer sin, to conquer death. That's what true love is. And if we look at evil, it distorts the way we see things, and it blinds us to that. So what we experience is more evil if we get into it. That's what evil does. Evil blinds us our minds, and it also steals God's truth from us. It steals God's truth from us. He keeps us from experiencing his love. Think about it. That's the whole goal of Satan, isn't it? To steer us away from God's love, right? To keep us from actually experiencing who he is, right? To mess up the way we think and to mess up the truth that we actually have, right? To mess up God's truth. That's his whole goal, Right? Jesus said it this way in his teaching, the parable of the sower, in Matthew 13, 9. He says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in their heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. Right? The evil one comes and snatches what was sown on the ground. He steals it. He takes it away from him. Listen, Satan wants nothing more for us to not understand the gospel. He wants nothing more for us to not understand that the gospel means good news, the fact that Jesus came for us. Like, that's what he's doing. He's stealing his truth from us. And what he wants to do is he wants to steal it, and then he wants us to trap us in the cycle. Right? Because that's what evil does. Evil is a trap. Evil is a trap, and it's a cycle that we fall into. I mean, think about how many of you guys have ever done something stupid before? Everybody's hands should be up. Come on now. How many of you have ever done something stupid before and only say, man, I'm never going to do this again. And then 37 minutes later, you do the exact same thing. Right? Why? It's because it's a trap. It's a trap. It's a cycle. It's what Satan wants us to fall into. All right, Paul explains it this way in Romans 7, 19. It says, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. Here's Paul, right? Started many of the new churches in the New Testament, and here he is, and he's talking in circles. I like to read that. It's like, blah, 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 blah. Because that's how our mind feels when we're in the midst of it. Because it's a trap when it's what evil does. It has us in this internal conflict, as it has us in this internal struggle that we're trapped in. And evil begets evil. Because what you celebrate gets repeated. What you celebrate gets experienced. Evil's a trap. And it's a trap set to destroy us. Right? Evil's not loving because it destroys us. And it destroys everything around us, including our relationships. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Understand that Satan wants to devour everything in your life, everything that represents the love of Christ, the love of God. Understand this. Your marriages are not safe. Satan wants to devour it because our marriages are a representation of Christ's love for the church. Don't act like that's going to be easy. Don't act like that's not something that Satan's going to want to destroy. He's going to want to. Right? Next time you fight with your spouse, just point it out. Hey, Satan's trying to devour this. Right? There's times where that's the best thing to do because there's no win. Right? We're fighting. Sarah might be in the midst of it. We're like, dude, Satan's trying to attack. Let's just call it. Right? Throw up a flag real fast. Call a timeout. Let's call this for what it is. Right? Satan wants to destroy our relationships. He wants to destroy our families. Because again, we look at it, we're a church family. We're here together. Right? We're called to love one another. And if he destroys our family, like our immediate families, then we're never going to trust family again. He wants to destroy those things, and he'll use anything he can to do it, and he'll use evil. He'll use evil and the trap of evil to get us set into this to do it. And it could be something as small and harmless as saying, oh, just watch this show, or oh, I'll just listen to this music. And again, I'm not saying, hey, I'm probably still going to listen up. Like if I'm bumping some 90s, late 90s rap when I'm driving by you, I'm sorry. And I'm still going to do it sometimes. But I know that when it opens the door and I start to feel a little bit differently, I need to close the door immediately. Right? I need to shut the door because I can't let evil come in because it destroys everything around me. Destroys who I am and destroys my relationships as well because this is what evil does. Right? Again, this seems kind of doom and gloom. This is a little bit more like hellfire and brimstone than you're used to from me preaching to you. But listen, this is the danger. This is the danger of evil. And I think a lot of times we look at this like, oh, this is a no-brainer. I'm not going to do anything. I'm staying away from evil because we know it. But too many times it's a trap that we don't even see. And then we open the doors in our marriages and our relationships and our workplaces, and it leads us to someplace we never wanted to be. Right? Sin's going to take us further than we ever wanted to go, and it's going to cost more than we ever wanted it to cost. That's the danger. That's the danger of evil. Right? So don't delight in it. Right? Get it out of your life. Right? Get it out of your life. In your family, get it out. Right? In your marriage, get it out. Right? Don't even open the door to it. In your workplace, get it out. Right? Satan wants to attack your integrity above anything else. Right? Get it out. Flee from evil. Flee from evil. Don't delight in evil. I think Paul knew the dangers of this so much, so this is why he gave the counterpart. This is why he added the action step. Again, don't delight in evil, but instead, rejoice in the truth. And that's our action step today, is rejoice in the truth. Celebrate the truth. And if we celebrate the truth, guess what gets repeated? Truth gets repeated in our life. We walk in that. Guess what happens with truth? It builds our confidence. It builds our foundation. It builds us, and it builds others around us, and it allows us to love in a way that's actually truly loving, that looks like Christ, right? Love is rejoicing in the truth, and that's a love that takes action, and it's a love that matures, and it's a love that discovers more and more love and more truth. So our action step is rejoice in the truth. Rejoice in the truth. And here's how you find truth. You read the Bible. The truth is in the Bible. The Bible is God's word. It's his inspired word to us. And it's truthful. And there's incredible truth in it. So listen, I want to challenge you this week, read it. Read the Bible. Right? Find some truth. Again, we throw the Bible app on there every week because we actually want you to read the Bible. Right? What I say is not enough to last the whole week. It may not even be enough to last you till the time you get to lunch and somebody cuts you off, right? So you need to read the Bible. Read the Bible. And this week I want to challenge you, right? Go to it for its truth, for his truth that you can actually rejoice in. And a simple way to do this, maybe this week, here's mark this on your calendar. Do this. Google God's truths in the Bible and then write them down and start rejoicing in them. Start celebrating them. You feel the door open and say, oh, I kind of feel weird because I think evil's creeping in. Or, oh, I listened to too much songs. I need to get to worship. Oh, you know what? What I need to do is I need to go back to the truth of God that he's placed before us in his word. Right? And then I need to rejoice in it. So I challenge you, right? Rejoice in the truths. And there's so many truths. I could be up here. I could go through like the 101 truths. And we could stay here until like after the fourth service of Easter is done. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to give you three simple truths to start off with for this week. But my challenge is that you don't just remain with these three truths. My challenge is that you find more, you study more, you look for more, and then you rejoice in them. But let me give you the first one here. Number one, here's a truth that you can rejoice in. You are not alone. Right? You're not alone. Listen, if you look around in this room right now, there's probably somebody that's going through a similar situation. You're like, no way. Yeah, probably. Right? Life's crazy. Right? Life's hard. It's tough. And here's what Satan wants. He wants us to feel completely isolated, like we're by ourselves. He wants to pin us in a corner and make us feel like we're completely alone. But the truth is, you are not alone. Right? You're not alone. Don't live blinded by that lie. Again, evil does. What is it? It blinds us to the truth. It blinds us to the fact that we have a God that's surrounding us, that's caring for us. Right? Don't be blinded by that. You are not alone. So open your eyes up so you can move past that lie. God is ready. He's with us, waiting for us to fight the battles with us. There's an incredible story in the Old Testament. It's about the prophet Elisha. Elisha was a prophet. He was helping the king of Israel fight and win some battles. And so, obviously, the opposing kings of Israel, ones that were fighting against Israel, they got mad at this. They're like, man, why does this king always win? Oh, it's because they had this guy named Elisha. Well, I'll take Elisha out. So the opposing kings began, and they started to attack Elisha. Now, Elisha, again, he's a prophet of God. He had some servants around him. And so his servants began to panic, which is what we see here in 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17. So check this out. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. It says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Right, here they are. They're coming to attack Elisha. Right, so the servant says, oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Right, think of this. Hear this. The servant is kind of stuck. He's not fully seeing, which again, this is what sometimes evil can do. It keeps us from fully seeing. He looks out. He sees that, hey, the enemy's surrounding me. We're in trouble right now. But check out what Elisha does. Here's Elisha. He's connected with God. Here's Elisha. He's rejoicing in the truth that he's not alone. He's rejoicing in who his heavenly father is. And he says this. He says, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. All right. The servant's probably like, yeah, I don't know. I looked out. Bro, there's like lots of horses and chariots and nobody else. All right? No, Elisha, you're crazy. Like, do you have an underground tunnel? We getting out? What's going on? But check out Elisha, verse 17. It says, Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Listen, we need to rejoice in that truth. My prayer for many of us today, if we walked in here feeling defeated, if we walked in here feeling isolated, if we walked in here blinded by the lies that evil was telling us, my prayer is that you open your eyes. Open your eyes and look around. You are surrounded by the power of God. Hey, he's ready to fight our battles with us. Right? He's with us, and we're not alone. He's put people in place and in our lives that we're coming in contact with that he's saying, here, partner with them. They're going to help you. Here, partner with them. You know what? Partner with a bunch of people. Actually, you know what? Partner with all the people that I've surrounded with you with, because you are not alone. Right? Rejoice in that truth. You are not alone. Right? You're not alone. Number two is this. Here's another truth that you can rejoice and that you can celebrate and that will get repeated in your life. Is you do not fight for victory, you fight from victory. Maybe you walked in here and you felt defeated. Again, maybe evil got a hold of you, you felt trapped, and you're kind of just stuck in this cycle. Understand this, the victory's already been won. Right? The victory's already been won. Right? Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, paying the penalty for each and every one of our sins. The sins that we feel like, hey, we need to pay this penalty. No, what we need to do is we need to ask forgiveness because the penalty's already been paid, and then Jesus took it to a cross. Then he went to a tomb, and he didn't stay in the tomb. The tomb was left empty. That's the celebration. That's the win. That's the victory. Again, in a few weeks, we're going to celebrate Easter. What we celebrate at Easter is the fact that the tomb is empty. Right? We're going to celebrate that. Why? Because God's already won the victory. God's already won the victory. If you look at it, the difference between Christianity and every other religion out there is the fact that we have an empty tomb. There's a lot of rules and regulations. There's a lot of things that we can do, but God's saying, you know what? Yeah, it's good. There's rules and regulations put in place to keep us on the right path, but we're all going to fail. But you don't have to worry about that because the victory's already been won. Right? You don't have to condemn yourself. You don't have to shame yourself. You don't have to guilt yourself. The victory's already been won, and you live in the freedom of that. Right? You do not fight for victory. You fight from victory. Right? You do not fight for victory because Jesus already won the victory. So you're not trapped. You're not destroyed, right? Those are lies from the devil. 1 John 4:4 says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Listen, we've already talked about this. The world is messed up. The world is an evil place. But the one who is in us, Jesus Christ, who dwells within us, is greater than who is in the world. Right? He's greater than all the things that we reach. He's bigger than all of those things. And the victory has already been won. So act like it. Rejoice in it. Celebrate it and repeat it. Understand this. In your marriage, the victory has already been won. Right? So fight from a place of victory. Right? Little disclaimer. Don't go to your spouse and be like, yeah, I've already won this, right? Pastor Corbin said so. In your marriage, you're not fighting with each other, you're fighting for each other. You're not fighting against each other, right? You're fighting from a place where the victory's already won. Jesus loved us, the church, so much, his bride, that he gave himself for us. Let's fight from that place, and let's do that for our spouses as well. Right? Fight from victory. Same thing in our families, right? Fight together from victory. Same thing in our workplaces. Listen, if your workplace is a toxic place right now and you're thinking this is bad, guess what? The victory's already been won. What God's called you to be is the best worker with the most integrity. Fight from that place and understand that in the end, the victory's won and it will be his already. Right? You fight from victory, not for victory. Rejoice in that. And number three is this. Your prayers are far more powerful than you know because of God. That's the disclaimer, because of God. Because we have a God who listens. We have a God who cares. You are not destroyed. Again, that's a lie. You are not defeated. You are not alone. You can pray, and you have a God who listens to you. So your prayers are more powerful than you actually No. So keep praying. There's an encouraging word from Daniel, in the life of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. It says this. It says, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. Listen, your words have been heard. If we're praying in a way that's humbling ourselves before God, if we're praying in a way that's trying to gain understanding so we can align with the will of God, our words and our prayers, they've been heard. All right, so keep praying for your family. If your family's in a messy situation right now, there's some broken relationships in it, keep praying. Keep praying for your family. Your words have been heard. If your marriage is hanging on by a thread, keep praying. Keep praying in a situation where the cords can actually be wrapped up together and actually turn into a rope. Keep praying for your marriage. Keep praying for the loved ones. If you have loved ones who haven't made a decision to follow Jesus and are unsaved, listen, keep praying for them. Guess what? That's God's will for them. One day you're going to be celebrating. We have the baptism open. We baptize somebody in first service. We're going to baptize three people in second service. The person you're praying for that's a family member or a loved one that you doesn't know Jesus, guess what? Because of that prayer, because God hears that prayer, one day you're going to be celebrating a baptism with them, right? Keep praying. Keep relying on God. He's working. Even when we don't feel it, he's still working. Even if you don't see it, he's still working behind the scenes. And there's sometimes God's working isn't on the situation that we're praying for, but it's actually on us. He's working on us, and that's a powerful prayer as well. That's a powerful prayer as well. So rejoice in that truth. Rejoice in the truth that your prayers are more powerful than you know because you have a God who listens. You have a God who listens. You're not alone. You fight from victory, not for victory, and your prayers are more powerful than you know. And when we realize this, when we rejoice in this, it changes us. It changes how we experience love, and it changes how we love others. So I want to challenge you. Rejoice in the truth. Don't delight in evil, but rejoice in the truth. And again, what you celebrate is what you live out. What you celebrate is what gets repeated. So celebrate the love of Christ. Celebrate God's love for you. Don't delight in evil, but rejoice in the truth. And here's the truth. The truth is not just what, but who. The truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John 14, 6. It says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the truth. So rejoice in him. Listen, as we close, what I want to do is I want to give you an opportunity to rejoice in the truth. And so maybe you're here today, maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never accepted the fact that he went to a cross for you, for the sins that you've done. And he hung on the cross for you and was risen again to overcome us. That's the truth. Today he's saying rejoice in that. And if you're here today and we want to do that, we want to give you that opportunity. So what we're going to do is have everybody close your eyes and bow your heads. And if you're here today and you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, you want to rejoice in the truth that God loved you so much that he gave his one and only son for you. And he's just asking you to ask forgiveness and to ask him to become your Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you want to do that, simply just raise your hand with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed. Yep, see him. Yep, yep. Cool. Yep. I want to pray with you guys right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for those hands, God, that were raised. They're out there more than hands. They're a decision. They're a decision to follow you and a commitment to make you their Lord and Savior. God, and I pray right now, God, as they ask forgiveness of their sins, God, that they can walk in celebration of what you've done for them. And I pray that they rejoice in the truth over and over and over again. And God, I pray that we do that. God, I pray that we don't delight in evil, but we rejoice in your truth and we live that out in an incredible way so that we love others like you love us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. And let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.